Radio 212, complex.
DPS. Go. Inco. Go. PUS. Go. Surgeon. Go. Booster. Go. Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas, I am your host, Christopher Jordan. And today on the podcast, we're going to get a little nostalgic on it. As y'all probably just heard coming in there, there was a little bit of the professor bringing us in. The professor, of course, being Neil Peart. The drummer for Rush. That's what today's show is about. We're going to do a little review of the Rush R40 tour that is hopping and bopping its way across the country right now. I just had a chance to see it in Houston about a week ago, and it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. I got to say that it was the Roll the Bones tour that was my first Rush tour to go see. And I'll never forget it. I'm not going to say it was my first ticketed show ever. My first ticketed show ever was actually Huey Lewis and the News, the Four Tour, back when I was in junior high. But Rush Roll the Bones was the first tour that I ever purchased a ticket to myself. Like, went out, went to a Ticketmaster location. No plug for Ticketmaster, I assure you. And stood in line, bought my ticket, and went to a show on my own. Actually, to backstep just a little bit of history, I guess it was my freshman year of high school that I met my brother's friend, Dan Mateo. And he was a huge Rush fanatic. He listened to Rush all the time. He was a drummer and absolutely loved Rush, was into them full on hardcore. And I guess it was probably my sophomore year in high school. My brother was about 4 years ahead of me. When he was a senior, I was a freshman. And he kind of took me under his wing, you know, showed me the ropes. All of his friends became my friends. We're still all very close to this day. And Randy had gone off to school at Texas A&M University Galveston. And his friends had just basically adopted me. Every once in a while, they would contact me and be like, "Hey, buddy, let's go out and shoot some pool," or, "Hey, man, we're going out to see this movie. You should come out with us." And it was awesome. It was great. I absolutely loved them for it. They really helped me not miss my big brother so much. We were like this and still are best of friends, in cahoots all the time with all kinds of stuff. And Anyway, they invited me one night. A big thing to do in Houston at the time was to go out to the Museum of Natural Science and check out the rock laser shows. They were huge all around the country in the 90s. I don't know of just about any major city in the country who had a museum or had a planetarium that didn't have rock laser shows going on them at least once a month, something like that. And it was an incredibly nerdy thing to do, but it was always super fun. You got to see, it was some great people watching late at night on a Friday or Saturday night in Houston, Texas at the planetarium. And anyway, they took me to a Rush laser show and I was hooked, man. I was hooked from that point on. And my brother's girlfriend at the time actually bought me for Christmas my first Rush CD ever, which was Rush Hemispheres. Odd one to be a first album, I know. There are so many people that are into Moving Pictures, you know. Just it was an odd album to get as your first Rush album. It had the hit song The Trees on it, which is always a great one. But for me, the song that did it, the song that was like, oh, my sweet baby Jesus, this is amazing, it was Cygnus X1. It was one of their long, huge, epic songs. It's like 18 minutes, 23 seconds long, something like that on the album. And it's just, it's immense. It's a tour de force sonically, you know. It goes the whole gamut of Rush stylings and at the same time has this incredible message. And, you know, it's one of them that's in theory, you know, part of a trilogy of songs that go on across albums. But for so many people, it's 2112. 2112 was the big song, the big one that got them into it. And awesome song, amazing. One of my favorite Rush songs, but for me, it was absolutely Cygnus X1. And to hear them play that live at the R40 tour, to hear them do that, and to hear them not only do that, but to marry the indomitable drum solo by Neil Peart into the middle of it, and then come back, was just phenomenal for me. And, you know, like I said, this show and this band holds a special place in my heart. I've spoken before about my immense love for Pink Floyd. The bands that I'm reeling into are the bands that have moved me in my life. And Rush was one of those that it literally made me want to learn to play music. It made me want to learn to play bass and to be able to play music like that and write music like that. It really made me want to aspire to something. And I directly relate bands like Rush, Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead, bands like that that I was truly into and loved the sonics of their music and what they were like live as real credit to what I do for a living. That is where a lot of my passion came from, a lot of my inspiration, and things that I always wanted to do, you know. I mean, once I started running sound, it was like, hey, man, I want to work Rush. I want to run sound for Pink Floyd. And I have had the honor of working with both of those bands in a local aspect, you know, not in any kind of touring aspect or, you know, I did get to be behind the soundboard for Pink Floyd, The Wall, or Roger Waters, The Wall, I should say. That was phenomenal, and being a part of that production and flying all of the video rig for that. And I got to be a part of the Clockwork Angels tour whenever it came through Austin a couple of years ago. And that was a truly special moment in my life. I actually have one of the towels. I was put on stage crew for that show and actually got to break down Neil's drum kit. And it was absolutely amazing and gorgeous and phenomenal. And I have one of the towels that we were given to wipe the kit down with. You know, I kept it. I'll say that because, well, it was one of the towels from Neil Peart's drum kit. So I kept it. It's mine. I have it. You can come and pay homage in the temple if you like. Yes, it is the Temple of Syrinx. However, back to the topic at hand, the tour was absolutely phenomenal. And I have seen every single Rush tour since Roll the Bones, a couple of them twice. I absolutely love them. I spent money on them all through college, their albums. And it's a show that I will consistently spend money on and buy a ticket to no matter the venue, because I know that the consistency with the band themselves is there. You know, it's so hard to go out and catch a band live and hear a band live that actually is representative of the way that they sound on their albums. And Rush does that. They consistently sound the way that they do on their albums. They may put a little twist on something, you know, they may make something a little bit more adventurous. They may down tempo something. They definitely did some interesting stuff with Cygnus X1, as I said, throwing the drum solo into the middle of that. Just phenomenal. And you know, for me, it's about the tour rig. For a while, Rush had really gone, and the one thing that I really love is they encompass all media. They really do. As someone who runs a lot of live video, who does a lot of video production, I love the fact, love the fact that they incorporate all forms of media into their show. They actually have movie pieces that take you from song to song, from moment to moment within the show, that kind of help you travel the journey of the show. And it's great. Many of these pieces are made custom for each individual tour. Some of them come remnant from tours previous. Some of them are live footage that they cut together of them playing the songs, you know, from other tours. And it's great. It's phenomenal. It really does give an immersive aspect to the show at hand and gives the audience a whole nother level of involvement, other than just some static images or something like that going on. And it's great, you know, even whenever they're coming back from set break, things like that, they have movies that play, you know, and, you know, they'll have my favorite is whenever they have Lil Rush from South Park introduce them at the beginning of the second set. It's great. You know, it's super fun. And the one thing that I love, much like I loved about the Stevie Wonder concert, every time that I go see a Rush concert, it's generational. And this time around, it got to be generational for my family. You know, I'm my brother's friend hooked me on Rush. I hooked my brother on Rush, and he has hence hooked his children on Rush. And, you know, they can spot when a Rush song comes on the radio. They know who it is. They're in their tweeners now. And it's great. You know, they got to go to their first ever live rock and roll show with their dad and their uncle the other day. And it was their dad and their uncle's favorite band. And we all got to geek out together. You know, we all got to sit back and enjoy the show. And it was phenomenal. It really was. And I love the fact that they make their shows so family friendly, and that they encourage that. They absolutely encourage that. And, you know, hats off to you, Rush. You're literally the only band that I've ever worked with in a large capacity that stopped off and shook the locals' hands on the way off stage, telling people thank you. You know, you are humble to all ends. You're absolutely phenomenal with the way that you present yourselves professionally on stage. And it's great. It's fantastic. What I love even more, you know, is the return to the larger format production. For a while, they had gone with kind of a static set. They had set pieces behind them. And that still happens. That still occurs. As a matter of fact, in this show, because it's R40 and it was a celebration of their years and years of production and live shows and albums, they actually had guys in red jumpsuits like on the Moving Pictures album, and they were constantly moving things on and off stage throughout the entire show. And it was great. It was great. You know, it's just something that's always going on that catches you in the background. And you're like, that is cool. You know, it's just little subtleties like that. They've gone back to a larger rig. Their rig that they've flown is larger in size and scope. They've gone back to moving truss. They now have these large circular pieces of truss that are over each individual member of the band, and they move and cairn with the music, and it's great. It provides a whole new visual aspect and really brings back that huge production feel that Rush had for so many years, you know, I wish I could have seen some of their huge, crazy productions back in the day. You know, I came along right up around, like I said, early 90s, actually, with the Roll the Bones tour as my first tour. So up around that time is when they started scaling back the production and really going video heavy with stuff and really bringing in that kind of integration with the performance. And it's great because it really does show that they change with the times. And it's interesting, even with the sets, even with the two sets that they did, 2 hour-and-a-half long sets, it was amazing. They started with the most recent material and moved their way back to the first album, which was part of the encore. And, you know, it was phenomenal to, number one, hear the journey of stylization that is Rush, because they are a highly stylized band. They are often referred to as the nerd band for musicians. You know, like, they're a musician's band. They're someone who, you know, most of the time people are like, Rush, you know, I don't really know about them and all that. But you start getting into hardcore musicians, music nerds, engineers, things like that. And yeah, oh yeah, we know about Rush. We know all about Rush. We know everything about Rush. And, you know, it's great because they travel the whole gamut. You know, they still are on modern radio stations. They're on classic rock. I've even heard them on oldies stations, depending on where you are and what their definition of oldies is. But, you know, it's amazing. Their story is amazing. They're really a band that came up on their own and conquered the airwaves via happenstance and took the world by storm, and, you know, are a true example of a band that when you stick to what you are, you know, it's interesting if you go back and read some of their storied history and go back and read about the albums like Hemispheres, one of my favorites, you know, right up around the same time, A Farewell to Kings, that were a departure, truly a departure from what was going on musically on the airwaves at the time, and almost sank the band because of their vision and the fact that, you know, they really did have this odd way of putting music and track to tape. And just sticking tried and true to what they are and not going with trends, you know, just because that's the trend doesn't mean that's the way that we need to go with our sound. And even going and listening to them live, like I said before, they are one of the most representative true bands that I've ever seen, ever. And I will pay any ticket price to see Rush forever and always. And I'm probably half the reason that they will continue to raise ticket prices in the world. Even though that's not Rush's fault, everybody. But remember, it's not Rush who sets the ticket prices. It is the venue, and it is companies like C3 Entertainment, things like that, who manage tours across the country and across the world. The reason why merch is actually so gosh darn expensive at most shows is because that is where the band makes their money. Much like whenever you go to the movies and you're like, geez, man, I just paid $10.50 to get into the movie, and now I got to pay $12 for a bucket of popcorn. Well, that's because the movie theater sees not one red penny off that ticket sale. All of their sales come off of concession. So that's where they pay their employees. That's where they pay their crew. That's where they pay their rent, is off of concession sales. And much like that, whenever you go out and you see, you know, tour shirts. You see things like that that are $35, $40, $50 each. Not only is it the quality of materials that you're paying for, but it's also the fact that that is the only money that the band is making off the tour. The tickets go to the venue. The tickets go to tour management. The tickets go to tour production and everything else. The only money that the band makes is typically off of merch sales. So remember that whenever you hit your next Rush show, and support the guys, support what you love. And remember, everybody, keep doing what you love. Life is about passion. And that's what I love about the lyrics of Rush. That's what I love about Rush themselves as a band. They are passionate people. You know, Neil himself has a passion for motorcycles and makes sure that he has a chance to ride just about every day that he's on tour. You know, people wonder why he's the professor and why he's one of the biggest names in drums in the world. The man practices 3 hours a day, whether he's on stage or not. You know, he has a passion for it, and he lives it, and he loves it. And that's what we're meant to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to find our passion and follow our passion in life. And whenever you do that, it's really funny how suddenly the boat stops rocking and it just starts going right along with the current right to where it's supposed to go. And so much of the lyric of Rush and the message of Rush is about follow your heart, follow your own drummer, you know, that true Henry David Thoreau aspect of, you know, everybody marches to the beat of a different drummer, and that's okay. You know, encourage that. Encourage that in people that you meet. Encourage that in yourself. Whenever you have a feeling that you need to do something, follow through with that. See where it takes you. You'd be surprised. This podcast itself started off an absolute feeling that I needed to give back. It was time for me to give back and for me to help kind of guide other people into the path of audio engineering and into the path of music and sound and live production. You know, I mean, I didn't even start live production as an audio engineer. I started live production as a scenic builder and lighting person in theater when I was in junior high and high school doing theater makeup and stuff like that. I actually wanted to be a special effects makeup artist and, you know, do things like that. It was through my love of theater and my involvement in theater that I found audio engineering. I was stuck behind a soundboard one day and I loved it. I found that I truly enjoyed it. And later on, after I started recording music and started finding my way into it, I naturally transitioned, and that's where it took me. So it's about having an open mind, and that's what I love about Rush. They are open-minded enough to change their sound, to try something new. Here, the last album, Clockwork Angels, was not only a concept album where it was a story from beginning to end, an all-encompassing story, which is incredibly hard to do. Kudos to you, Neil, for writing such a piece. I've written pieces like that myself, and it's not easy to carry on a storyline from song to song. And on top of that, it was also the progeneration for a sci-fi series that he wrote at the same time. So it really kind of crossed genres from music to literature. And it's great. It's great. You know, whenever you can let your inspiration truly take you to an uninhibited place. And that's what I feel Rush is about. That's why they're not afraid of an 18-minute long song like Cygnus X1. That's why they're not afraid to write songs about what's going on in society right now. Why they're not afraid to tackle hard issues like racism and class strata, you know, things like that in their music. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I love it. I love it. So on that note, thank you so much, Rush, for the years of inspiration, for those of us who have moved into careers in music, those of us who have moved into careers in engineering by choosing people like Terry Brown as your engineer for so many years. Terry Brown, where are you? We miss you. We miss you. We want you to come back. And on that note, everybody, please stop on by the website, www.talkingsoundshow.com. There you can find all of the episodes, from our fantastic technical episodes that give you all kinds of tips and tricks, to articles from major manufacturers like Shure Mogami, Neve Audio, Rupert Neve Designs. We have all kinds of articles from ourselves also that are tips and tricks articles. There you can also find our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/talkingsound. And there you can give to the cause. If you like what we're doing, if you believe in the concept of free knowledge for all, and, you know, you can absolutely feel good about giving a little bit of money. Here recently, we had a donor who gave enough money for us to be able to make an HD upgrade for video, and we're now capturing in all HD. So it's fantastic. I absolutely love Patreon and the opportunities that it gives creative individuals. Thank you so much, Patreon, for everything that you do, and thank you so much for audience for everything that you do as well. It is because of people like you and listeners like you that we keep on keeping on here doing the episodes that we're doing. We get some great feedback from people all over. We have a new widget right over here on the right-hand side of the screen where you can actually call in and leave us technical questions, leave show ideas. We actually had somebody the other day who asked a question about writing, about how we go about writing. So we're getting ready to do an episode on that, entirely based on writing and what the whole process is. So on that note, please check us out online and make sure to go online, buy your tickets for the Rush show. R40 is out on tour right now. 40 years of Rush, a whole compendium show. It's absolutely amazing. And on that note, everybody, we're going to go out on a little bit of Rush. Here's some Closer to the Heart for you. Take care, everyone. Keep reaching for a love.
Sound.